Hello, by Riverside this is Kristen FM. Schaefer.
Welcome to the podcast.
Conversations with Hello, my sisters. Is a podcast.
In the last episode of
My Seven Sisters, I, Delaney, Gus, Tony, Lorraine,
Summer, Lauren, Aaron,
raised 11 children
in Arizona.
Dad was a mechanical engineer for Motorola.
Mom, Ever, Nerd, is
my mom,
Wade,
Jupiter,
Gardner. Get ready for a deep dive.
I helped you chauffeur Carol and Catherine.
What does God want us to know about
these goals?
I don't know if this will
mom and dad were diligent to the child's interest in their roles and including life skills and
dad's home.
It seemed only natural to finish on
exchange
band-aids on mom, winning a pickle match or reading stories after helping the youngest mother get ready for bed. Because I'm the oldest, I know
COVID memories
over the last 6 months
when
family
with ovarian
the topic of you didn't tell her voice. A lot has happened in her life over the last 6 months. I've grown to
meet my sister
what they mean by
fighting
cancer.
I just got to
introduce you to
my
battle. Recognize God's mercy and love.
Delaney, thank you for being here today.
Hello, I'm so excited.
I am here with a very special guest, the author of
What
Can
Kids
Do in the Summer. My mom, Lorraine Aldridge. Mom, thank you for being here.
Before we go any further,
be here with my daughter, Kristen.
First,
I'm
so curious
child
to our
recording afterwards
because people always tell me
it's always been a wonderful example for her siblings.
That I found
you, Mom. So my sisters and I have been having conversations about a summer learning program that you implemented called Summer Requirements. How did you start summer requirements?
I have found that it is hard to be part of my
kindergarten
when you need inspiration from a Heavenly Father to go along with what you are planning. And I felt like the summer requirements, I went to after that was an inspiration that I got that I needed me out my family for the summer. I love we would work hard and play hard.
Then
summer requirements was something that would help teach them basic skills that would be lasting forever for them. And I will ever be grateful
that have a very strong testimony.
Well, it was pretty awesome.
What is one of your favorite memories?
That you know everything. So I had nothing to pay
this life than the mall or the gym, problem with their friends. What have you done to teach your kids
and it's so crazy that my and kids, when you ask them where they're from, they say Illinois because, like,
they
can just know the rest
they were
grew up in Arizona
like
and
cleaning out
the
drawer in the bathroom
or cleaning out the drawer in the bedroom or really like a quite foul liar. But there you have it.
My children,
we fell in love with this little town first in the Midwest and decided it was a great place to raise our kids. So
the really fun thing was we always
have
rewarded
the
small.
I love the humidity.
So sorry,
I believe that wavy hair is
so
naturally curl and the humidity doesn't go here.
But
yeah,
in
some ways pretty low maintenance,
would
but in other ways
it would
complex.
Know so we were
I don't know. That's me.
One night it was very fun.
But very I still remember eating a hostel pie in the shade of a pretty little goalie that was part of some
gorgeous
landscaping outside of Nest Desert Samaritan
Hospital.
In a little
right,
and
that we were
that might
the day seemed
I was
to be so
delicious. I felt like I was in heaven sitting there in that tree with
like,
oh, photo.
You and Dad pulled out those hoster flies. I know it was great. Teenagers, more social experiences.
Isn't it wonderful that your children get these activities?
It's just so much sometimes.
A friend of mine was
surprised at how excited my own children is now. Get excited over sugar cereal.
I have
Christmas tradition of wrapping up a box
that,
of each of my children's favorite sugar cereal in newspaper and putting it under the Christmas tree every year. The kids all know that they're going to get their favorite cereal and get to eat it on Christmas Day, amongst other things. When a friend witnessed how excited my kids were, even when they're 18, 19 years old,
to open this box.
So there's a before this moment in time and after this moment in time, and just
keeping
in the
perspective, some of those things they can feel very far off.
One of the reasons why my friends' children may not have been quite is so excited about.
Just trying to zoom out
because they had it every single day. My children didn't have sugar cereal every single day. So that made it really special. I didn't have Hostess every single day growing up. I had homemade bread and homemade cookies almost every single day.
But as a Hostess pie was something special.
I at some point going to be able to look back on how you and Dad coordinated things like the outings after the end of a summer of learning. There were a lot of other times when you guys had to gently and lovingly consult with each other to plan to counsel together in love and righteousness. How did you and Dad do that when you had to
Christ and that we wanted to come and gain a body and be in a family and all those things?
There's certainly ways to compromise and to even know both things, but just at different times. We found that we would go on a weekly date to talk over things, plan things without the kids around and be able to enjoy that time together.
You know how to when I remember that I chose it, it
we really enjoyed that. Tony's parents during a major part of the kids growing up,
and I believe that
we found that once every 2 or 3 months, we would drive to Strawberries and have dinner with his parents and drive home. That was just such a good time.
And so we are in the moment we are, and then they see those pictures even now when they're 18.
Right. It isn't that we didn't ever get upset, but we didn't verbalize it in a loud way.
That even now, I mean, they understand.
I remember you and Dad needing to close the bedroom door,
and I knew that you were working through something hard in there, and don't knock on the door.
Mom and Dad are talking. There are times when I just need to work with that. We didn't talk a lot about maybe
conference talk,
and so they thought that everything was letting God prevail, and that's not the case.
When we let God prevail in our lives, whether to realize that the little things don't matter.
He uses a word to be a pushover.
In that talk,
his little company, any of those things are all
my think it was appropriate. Many of us have things out behind from his doors.
He shared a story
of someone being a fear of loss. Because they were afraid of a future loss of a
rainbows
father
and roses.
I think that's so that is my topic.
He said it very lovingly. My choice
that you're working for us now,
especially when
it's kind of what we're talking about.
I saw you ask each other for forgiveness. I saw you that there is a divine plan, that each of us has a divine potential because
each of us is each other.
And then I'm trying to quote him.
So I didn't favor or disfavor with God is dependent upon your devotion to God and His commandments and not on the color of your skin
or any other circumstances out of your control.
Do you have anything you would like to add to that?
Right.
No, I absolutely agree. The thing that is somewhat interesting on that is that the youngest one,
the result is a fixed direction because we reach to Him when we listen for the Holy Ghost. We slow down so we can hear the prompting. This makes our decisions easier. It gives us more courage against temptation and many other examples to do.
That's for sure.
Again, that's let God prevail.
Right. That's right. I'm free to absolutely walk away from that.
Home having a baby.
And then I'm going to have a different set of circumstances. So I have to choose things.
What did you do when you're done with your little and having a victim mentality. We all are victims, actually,
and that's kind of what
life is all about. It's about testing and trials.
There are good and bad, and there will be in all of our lives.
But when we dwell
so
on
many
that,
things. I think
and
when
use it as an excuse or complain or blame or feel self-pity or rebel because of what we perceive in our victimhood, then that's when we aren't taking responsibility every day.
And with that comes out set.
And it does not lead to happiness. Taking responsibility
when I choose Jesus, that means a covenant relationship with Him.
It's really me grounded in that we remain grateful for what we
have. The end in mind.
If you have parents,
some really practical things for me are the temple, temple worship,
being
constantly a reminder for me that this life is not all there is. I love hearing that.
I've been in enough situations in the world where
a few months ago when I was there,
there's so much responsibility.
Never
There are things that happen in life that force people to affect us. I'm reminded of when my mom was diagnosed with cancer. I just visited with her today, now 7 months later, and she went back and forth coming out from the battle as a
field. And then you'd have to cut out the
again.
What lesson have you learned from this? And she said, so much money doesn't matter. Things don't matter.
You all come down.
I would add God, but of course we're part of his big family. That is when we can all feel it too, because we've watched this battle going on.
Fortunately,
it really helps to put things in perspective, because so many things don't
have to worry about cell phones. I didn't have to worry about a lot of TV. I didn't have to worry about a lot of things that you have to worry about today.
I remember frankly, I'm happy
about
that.
To make sure that they learn how to work. To be a parent, to
refine yourself through this journey that we call mortality.
We
cheer you on as you trust Jesus Christ to be your partner in our parenting. We love him. We know that he is real, that he loves you very much.
Work with my perspective.
It helps me really believe that there is an eternity.
We saw you like you were talking the lawn. About
we saw you.
That is real life.
We saw you.
I am a spiritual
cooking
being,
and cleaning.
So
when you asked us to
not
do
a mortal
it,
being,
we were
having
doing
a spiritual
it with you.
Experience.
You followed King Benjamin's advice very well by working beside
that I am
children.
A spiritual being.
Oh, thank you so much for joining
I love
Lorraine
the idea
and
that God is in the detail of our lives.
With
when
my
we
sisters,
believe that,
even though
we can
she's
trust
my mom,
him.
She is my sister, and that we're all children of God.
I love my breath.
I love
he's given
you.
Me every opportunity.
When I was
and
a seminary
I'm so
teacher,
to be a
I
mom.
Remember
I'm
going to the temple and
mom.
Praying for my seminary students.
If you liked
and
this
sitting there
conversation, share it with your friends
just
and your
thinking
family.
The
we
question
want everyone to know
with
the
spirit of intent. Immediately,
is a gift
the words
from God.
Came to my mind.
Tell
Heavenly
them
Father
loves
that
you.
I love
so
them.
We.
I really think that that's what Heavenly Father would want all parents to know too, is that I am real. I love you.
When we consider that he loves us, reminds me of a conversation you and I had at the kitchen table in your house in Utah. This would have been a few years ago. We were talking about interacting with our husbands, and something that made a difference for me was choosing to believe him when he said, I love you. So now again, I'm talking about my husband. I don't know if you remember this conversation we had, but you said, oh my goodness, wait, say that again. We stopped and kind of and hashed that out for a minute, why that would be significant and what it means to not believe. And I think that's important. So if we consider all the times when our husband says something that annoys us and we fixate on that and decide he's a terrible person, we are in a sense saying we don't believe him when he says he loves me because right. I think this or that, you know, he's annoying. He did this on purpose. He's neglecting this on purpose because he doesn't actually love me. I don't actually believe him, even though he has said he loves me. So
that deflection is so powerful. It can ruin the feeling between two people.
Exactly. So when God is trying and his love is pouring down on us, but we refuse to believe it, we can do that. We can shut it out. We can shut him out. And we can insist that the story we have going on in our head instead is really what we're going to believe. And so I think that is so critical what you said.
Yes. Like, I'm not worthy of his love. Or if he loved me, then he wouldn't have put me in this situation. Or if he loved me, life would be easier.
A loving God wouldn't give me that commandment. Or a loving God wouldn't care if I did that thing. Yeah, there's so many ways where we are actually calling God a liar, you know, and resisting his love by alternative attitudes or beliefs that we instead choose to hang on to. So I do think that is so powerful and can really shift the way that we interact with him and really just let his love flow into us. And so that's huge.
I know that Heavenly Father is anxious for us to feel his love. It's interesting to consider that we have the responsibility of letting that love fill us and support us in our parenting, in our careers, in our ups and downs of life. I invite you to consider how you can let God's love into your life and into your parenting and your home more this week. If something in this podcast helped you, please share it with a friend or a family member. We're grateful for modern technology. Let's use it to build up families all around the world. The next episode, Delene and I continue to talk about the concept of eternity and how the big picture can continue to bless us in our parenting. Heavenly Father loves you, and so do we.